How we doing, mates? Welcome back to the Top Step. My name is Ryan Roland Smith. We are weeks away from opening day, and there's fans in the seats. I love it. That was kind of the mark for me when all of a sudden T-Mobile Park up here in Seattle said they're going to have 9,000 people in the seats. That was that first step for me where everything's getting back to normal. I mean, we've got 162 games. I can't believe it. I'm so happy. And we've got people in the seats. Every player I've spoke to who was pitching last year said how much they just took for granted having fans, having energy, having people watching them play. So awesome step. Can't wait for opening day. But this week, really good episode, especially for you Mariner fans. Joey Gerber, pitcher for the Mariners. Made his debut last year. He's 23 years old. We talk about that too. I told him how jealous I was. We talked about that. Making his debut, talked about his time in college when he was just basically a walk-on. He didn't say he was a walk-on, but you know, basically went to a D1 school, pumping 86, kind of drifting a little bit. He went back and played town ball. It was like rec baseball in his hometown. He said, man, I just want to throw harder. Anyway, we get to all that. It's awesome. I love these stories, man. These guys who, you know, want to just go and hopefully play some good college ball, and next thing you know, they're in the big leagues. Unreal. We talk about that. Talk about him and his girlfriend, Nicole. He said she'd be listening. So she is listening. What's up, Nicole? Had a really good episode with Joey. He talked a lot of good stuff. So make sure you stay on the whole episode. But again, man, I'm just so excited to just be talking to players. Got a couple of Mariner players coming up here. Got Tom Murphy, Kendall Graveman, and so on and so on. But anyway, but enjoy this episode. Before you do that, click the subscribe button. You know what to do. Leave me a review. Apparently it helps. Leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. All right, guys, I'll leave you to it. Enjoy this episode as Joey Gerber joins me on the Top Step.
No matter what happens, Ryan Roland Smith has something to tell his grandkids right here. First appearance of the big leagues.
Face of the Hall of Famer.
Especially if he strikes them out.
Here comes the 1-2 pitch to Junior now. The breaking ball. He struck him out. Yeah, that will be a story for the rest of his life as he strikes out Ken Griffey Jr. And the inning is over. But what an inning it was.
You'll never say that I'm not killing them. Killing them.
All right, Joey, welcome, buddy. What's the temperature like in that car right now, dude? You got to ask right away.
The outside temp says 66, but I'm going to give it plus 15, so probably about 80.
Okay.
It's pretty. The sun makes it feel pretty hot, but I'm sure it's not actually that bad, but we're going to try to cool it down here.
Yeah, because this is going to be like a 3-hour podcast, just to let you know. Because right before we got on, you said, hey, do you mind if I just, you know, roll the window down a little bit? And I was like, hey, dude, hey, sound quality is everything, man. No chance. You got to sit there for 3 hours in the heat.
Well, nobody wants that, especially me. I guess it doesn't matter for you, but like, I don't want that, but we'll be fine.
I need you to get to a place. Now, I need you to be comfortable, dude, because I'm going to ask you some stuff, extremely uncomfortable, stuff you've never said publicly. So I need you to be comfortable, all right?
We'll see if we can make it happen. I am very excited to be uncomfortable.
Okay, sounds great. Hey, dude, first of all, how's everything going, spring training?
Spring training's good. I love being in spring training. It's honestly one of my favorite times of the year. So it's... I mean, I'm healthy right now, which is, you know, half the battle at least. And my arm feels good. Stuff's pretty good, I guess. I don't know. Life's good. Yeah.
Were you 100% last year in camp? Because you were invited to camp last year, right? Non-roster invitee.
Yes. No, I was 100. I haven't really ever, I mean, again, knock on wood, I've never actually been seriously hurt. I've never had surgery or anything. So like, yeah. It's just, I'm aware you don't want to be hurt. It's just not what you want. So, I mean, life's good.
Is it different this year? Obviously, I know it is different, obviously, with COVID, but do you notice, you know, like is there things day to day like, oh man, like this is kind of a bummer being in spring training, being a dude, you've already made your major league debut. And do you notice those little things?
Honestly, no. I mean, I guess last year was a little, it wasn't, from what I've been told, the full big league experience, like because of COVID and all that stuff. But honestly, I just love it. I love being in Arizona right now. Yeah. I think that's what it is, honestly. No, I'm having a blast. There's nothing like that. for me.
Spring training is awesome, man. Anytime I hear someone complain about being a spring trainer, it's like, hold on a sec, man. You're kind of in that. And again, you got to impress and fight for a spot and everything else. But
sure.
you have a really good routine. Yeah, you have to get up kind of early, whatever. I'm fine. I love the early mornings, man. I'm an early morning person. But it's just, dude, like the weather's good. Everyone's in a really good mood. You know what I mean?
Right. You haven't seen all these guys, and you see all your buddies again for the first time in, like a handful of months. And like, yeah, I mean, you got a nice routine. Once you're done for the day, and you just hang out with your friends. It's like a giant summer camp kind of,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you're not sitting on 2 months with a 5 ERA or something, just trying to get
that. Right. You're not looking at your stats. You're like, ah, crap. How do I quickly fix this real quick before the end of the year? No, it's good. It's good.
Where do you spend the off season?
That's a really good question. So this off season I was in Arizona.
Okay.
But in the past I have
been so typical, so predictable.
I'm from Minnesota, so I've been in Minnesota. They've had me out to Arizona early a couple times, and I was also in Florida because I was briefly I moved to Florida. That's a really long story, actually. I moved to Florida.
That's fine. We got time, dude. You got 3 hours of this, dude. Go for it.
I moved to Florida briefly. My sister lives in Florida, so I was there for part of an off season. Then logistically, it was a nightmare. I couldn't do that, so I moved back to Minnesota for the next off season, and then I've been here this off season just because Minnesota was not the best. I love my parents. My parents are great, but just for working out with baseball and stuff, it's tough to do it in Minnesota. Yeah. So I went down here this time, and hopefully I'm just staying in warm weather places, and that would be good.
And you rented an apartment for the whole off season. Is that kind of how it works?
Yep. I rented an apartment. One of my college buddies, actually, who's with the Reds, he came out here with me, and we've just been, hanging.
Hanging. Good. So, and you have to dive too much into this because you're only 23, right?
Yeah.
You haven't, you're 24 yet. So dude, first of all, you're 23, man. I mean, God, I'm so jealous. But for me, I was literally living at my parents' place up until like the second year I was in the big leagues. Like literally, I mean, mind you, I'm from Australia. So like I'd go back every year. I'm just in the spare room at my parents' place. People sure. just couldn't get their head around that. Was that the same as you? I mean, were you renting places in like off seasons last couple of years, or were you just back at your parents?
No, I was with my parents. I don't know. I mean, I get along with my parents, it's like you're saving money and stuff. Like it just makes
absolutely.
Sense.
100%. Like, I don't want to sound like a couple dorks here, but dude, like it's just, people thought I was nuts. Like what, you go back to your mom's place? I'm like, yeah, why not? Just cruising with my friends back in Australia.
Exactly. It's not like I'm not married. So it's like, I'm not going to, what's the big deal? Like I'm just, I'm 20, I was 21, 22. Like, I didn't feel like it was, I felt that it was stupid. Okay. Like let's say I go back to Minnesota. Okay. I'm going to rent a place in Minneapolis for $2,000-$3,000 a month. Or I live rent free at my parents' place in my bed that I've slept in for who knows how long. And it's they got a nice house. Like it's a good setup.
Exactly. Hey, so you're in Arizona the whole off season. Now I just did some trolling through your Instagram, you and your girlfriends. I'm pretty sure it's your girlfriend, right? All right. Girlfriend, fiance, Nicole, right?
Your girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay. So when did you guys meet and how, where?
Oh, this is a good one, I guess. We met, I don't know, it's recent. So like, I want to say what month, I guess late September, I want to say. And she messaged me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, we started talking, we got a lot in common. We're, we got this pretty similar sense of humor. And we got similar, backgrounds ish, we're both like practicing Catholic. So we got that going on, into each other. So like, I don't know, we just hit it off, I guess. And here we are.
Was the Catholic thing established before she messaged you, or is that something like, oh, hey, me too, after she messaged you? Or
no, it was before, because we both have had it in our bios for like social media. Gotcha. So we kind of knew that. So, I mean, it was kind of known, I guess. Yeah.
Right. And where's she based?
She's got family in Nashville and she lives in LA now.
So how does that work? Because the reason I ask, man, is because I it was 2009. I met one of my teammates' sisters came to visit. And lo and behold, we're now married with two kids. You know what I'm saying? And
sure.
She lived in LA. Yeah. She lived in LA. And I was basically every off season, I was flying back to Australia and just hanging out at my parents' house. I was a big leaguer, but I was hanging out. My parents live like really close to the beach, like in a great house. Like, why wouldn't I, right? And all of a sudden I met Amanda and next thing you know, I got a truck full of stuff moving into her place in LA. But the reason I ask is because I'd get out to Arizona kind of early and she would make that 6-hour drive back and forth. So is that kind of where you guys are at the moment?
Yeah. She came out this past weekend and, you know, we had a good time or whatever. And you FaceTime, you text a lot and stuff, but that's. Yeah. That is kind of where we're at. Like, you know, obviously if things go well, I'll probably be in, you know, Southern California next off season, just because it makes sense. Right. But like right now, we're still figuring out logistically, but I mean, life's good. We're doing well.
That's awesome, man. I mean, I'm jealous. I watched you talk. You were talking yesterday on Root Sports. I was actually working the game. I could have literally pressed a button and be like, hey, Joey, what's up, man? So I was listening to your chat and it was good. You were talking about, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I want to ask you and get into, but you know, it's interesting to listen to you talk. You're in college and basically a couple of things you said yesterday was really interesting. And I love it, dude, because it's just honest. But you're in college and basically, I think Dave Sims asked you about, you know, your delivery and you kind of said, look, I wanted to throw harder, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it was a situation where it's like, you know, I want to throw harder. This is why I've got this kind of funky delivery, whatever you want to call it. And you also say, which I thought was great. You're like, at that point, you basically just wanted to play some college baseball and kind of, you know, see where it goes.
Oh yeah. No, when I was in high school, I never thought I was going to be anywhere remotely good enough to be in the bigs. Like, honestly, I didn't. So I was like, I just want to play college baseball at a good D1 school. Like when my assistant coach, the guy who like recruited me, like reached out to me, the first thing he said to me on the phone was he brought up like how I was a good student. Like, he didn't talk about baseball or like that was the first thing he brought up. So I was like, I knew going in, okay, I wasn't really going to be there for, you know, contributing too much. I was like, okay, I'm going to boost the team GPA here and then we'll move on. I'll have had the opportunity to play baseball at, you know, a good school. That's great. But like after my freshman year, we had a bunch of seniors who were kind of the back end of the bullpen and they left, but I wasn't good. I was bad. I mean, I was throwing 86, 88, but I had absolutely no off speed. And I saw, we had a first rounder. His name was Cody Sedlock. I want to say he's with the Orioles right now.
Yeah.
And he was a first rounder. He had four pitches he could, you know, that were pretty good, but he also, the biggest thing was he sat 93, 95 as a starter. And we had another guy, a freshman, Luke Schilling, who is with the White Sox now. And he really had no command of his stuff, but I knew he was going to get opportunities. And when he was healthy, he got some opportunities just because he threw 94, 96.
Yeah. Right.
And with a banger. And I realized, okay, the guys who are getting all these opportunities, it's just because they threw hard.
Yeah.
Like that's just kind of how it was, at least. And so I was like, okay, I wasn't good enough. You look at my stats, like, I'm sure if you look at deeper in the analytics, it was even worse, but like the peripheral stuff, like what's batting average against and all that stuff was terrible my freshman year. Cause I'm just piping 86 with no off speed and they're just smoking it, you know? So I don't know. I went back, they sent me back to just play town ball at like around where I was from. And I had all the freedom in the world to just try to find stuff that works because there's no pressure to, you know, perform for any team really. So that's kind of what happened.
And so you were talking about when you went back, you're saying after that freshman year, you're like, okay, I want to start trying to throw harder. And so you started to try and seek that out somewhere at that point.
What did I try to do? Well, I mean, there's some stuff online. So like I looked up ways, how do I throw harder? Like I was reading like Driveline Baseball blogs. I was looking up just other random crap, honestly. And what I would do is I would just go into on days where I wasn't pitching, because it's town ball, you play like maybe one or two games a week.
Yeah.
I was, I was just going into this net, this cage, and chucking weighted balls as hard as I could, just trying to throw as hard as I could, honestly. And that's kind of what developed. I obviously things, you know, like that, that's, there's more to it, but that's the gist of it, I guess, for what I was doing that summer. I also got really into lifting, which I was super weak, but like, that's a different story. But
so a couple of things. So what is town ball exactly? So you went off at some summer league. You keep saying town ball. I don't want to butcher it. I was about to say it 5 minutes ago. I'm like, did you say town ball? What is that? Just like a rec league or something? They sent you back and said, hey.
It's basically a men's league. It's like a bad, like I was in a second tier men's league in Minnesota.
Right.
And I was basically playing with a couple of my high school buddies and a couple, you know, guys who are, you know, probably 30 and haven't really done much baseball wise yet. Yeah. Competition's not great.
Hold on a sec. just rewind a little bit. I mean, you go into like a D1 that was pumping out first rounders and guys who were pretty legit. It wasn't like you're going to, you know, Smithville County Community College, some JUCO, right? I mean, so when just going back, take a couple steps back, the recruiter who got you, where did he, like, was it like one of these perfect games or recruiting showcases or something like that? How did all that work out?
Honestly, I don't even know how he saw me. I really don't. I did go with, his name's Justin Musil. I don't even know how this worked. He was not a recruiting he connects you with college coaches, basically.
Dude, he is now, man. If you've seen, he's like, hey, Joey Gerber's all over his Instagram, basically. He's like, look,
really?
I'm just messing around. He's the college recruiting guru now, thanks to you, because you got to the big leagues. So there you go. No, I'm just jumping in. Go for it. What were you saying?
No. I went with him, and just because he had good connections. So he was also a buddy with one of my dad's cousins, my cousin, kind of like, he was good buddies with him. So like, I went with him to, you know, try to help me build some connections at least. And I want to say he saw me at, like, I was playing fall ball. I want to say he saw me at one of those games, and I was 87-90 for an inning. So it showed, okay, I could touch 90. That's good enough. Because the other thing too was Illinois, they lost 9 pitchers that year, the year I came in my freshman year, and they only had like 5 coming in to replace them, like including me, or maybe 6 including me. So like, they needed arms. So, I mean, I was a tall, skinny, right-handed pitcher. They figured out maybe like something can come of this. And I was a good student, so they knew I wouldn't screw anything up, like off the field, really. Yeah. So they figured, well, I mean, there's no downs there. I was preferred walk-on. They weren't offering me anything. So there's really no downside to them doing it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that happened.
It's amazing, man. The way you're describing that is like, oh, you know, like, I guess you will probably kind of change your perspective on yourself, but everything you're telling me, you sound like that kind of person. I'm the same way, man. You kind of have a little bit of that imposter syndrome. You're like, what the hell am I doing here sometimes? Am I right with that?
A little. I've gotten better with that. But naturally, I do have that tendency, I would say. But I mean, my thing, I mean, I do think that helps make it easier to like have a good mindset for, okay, you're able to appreciate where you're at, because you realize like,
how,
sure, you know, how special it really is. But yeah, I would say I've gotten better. I used to be like that when I was like, especially when I was in college, I'm like, whoa, like I'm pitching against, you know, UCLA or something like that. I was like, wow. And then, I don't know, once I got to pro ball, I was just all kind of like, okay, every pro ball team's the same. I've never heard of, you know, Rancho Cucamonga, the Dodgers, or whatever, like whatever team they were. Like, I didn't. So once I got to pro ball, it got a little different. But like, yeah, I know what you mean.
That's a good point. That's a good point, dude. Like, I signed for $30,000. Well, you know, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And flew over. I had no idea what I was doing. But you're right, man. Like, when I was in Australia, I wasn't, you know, wasn't one of the best kids. I'm like, and I had a little bit of that, like, what the hell am I doing here? Then I got to pro ball. Everyone has kind of like a different story, different journey. You don't know who anyone is, but yeah, this kid's coming out of JUCO. This dude's come from wherever. And somehow it all kind of works out. But I just, man, it's so, and again, you've been super honest and everything, but as you go on with your career, as you get closer to the big leagues and everything else, and you start putting up numbers, all of a sudden it becomes that time where it's like, no. I am one of the dudes here. I throw harder than this guy. My stuff's better than him. Where was that moment for you? At what point were you like, man, I'm about to pitch in the friggin' big leagues?
Gosh. I don't know if I've had that. I really don't.
Because you put up some good numbers, dude. Like, I'm looking back through, you know, old baseball references. It looks like you were sort of on the beeline straight, you know, straight to the little bottleneck.
Thanks. No, I don't know. I just, because when I'm out there, I'm not like, I guess that's more of like an off field. You kind of like appreciate it maybe.
Yeah.
But like when I'm on the field, it's literally just like, I'm focused. Okay. This pitch goes here. This pitch goes here. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Like I really don't think I can't compare myself to other people, because it's, especially with analytics, like I've learned this too. Like it took me a while. I can't say I don't, because I realize it's a good pitch, but like, it took me a while to appreciate that my slider's a good pitch.
Right.
Because when I watch it, I don't think it's that special. Same thing with like Sam Delaplane. I don't know if you know who he is, but like,
of course.
He's got like the world's best slider. Like, I think, like, just cause he gets so much swing and miss on it.
Yeah.
And it looks extreme to me. It looks extremely average, but it's a really good pitch. So yeah. To me, like, I can't, especially now, unless the guy throws 100, that's different, but it's tough for me to be like, oh, that's a really good pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes like I played with a guy in high A who I thought he had a great curveball. And then I learned from our pitching coordinator, no, don't try to emulate that. That's like, I don't throw a curveball. Like, don't try to emulate that. That's really not a good pitch. And I'm like, huh? Like, thinking like, what? That looks great. But
amazing. So,
you know, like, it's tough. So I guess in that sense, it helps me stay in my lane. Like, okay, I just focus on what I can do to get better myself. But I don't know.
Are you pretty hardcore into analytics?
I guess you could say so. I appreciate them for sure. They give you, it's useful information. It's useful information to get you better, but you can't, you do have to simplify it for you so that you know, like, you can't be thinking about it when you're on the mound at the same time. You know what I mean? You just have to be able to take what you need to get better. And if there's, you know, other stuff that's there that it might be useful to know, but you can't worry too much about it, I guess. I don't know. But I do evaluate, because it is real information that helps you get better, and teams care about it.
Yeah, it's I mean, obviously it's way different to, you mentioned, you know, the pitching coordinator you had said, no, don't try and emulate that curveball, because, you know, from the eye test, you look at something like, man, that looks nasty, and all of a sudden the game's so different now. And yeah, back when I was pitching, back in my day, I sound like I'm like 75 years old, but you kids weren't the stuff now. But you'd throw a pitch and some coach would be in the dugout saying, oh, hey, your hand's dropping a little bit. It's like, dude, there's no way in real time, real speed, you can see if my hand's dropping next to that ball.
Right.
There's no way. But that's what it was. And it's like, you kind of, you know, some of that, you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'm trusting. And is that even a bad thing anyway? But okay, so what point for you, as far as the analytics goes, did you really understand it? For example, if you're throwing a bullpen there in Peoria in that six pack, iPads behind you, whack, you throw a slider or a fastball, whatever, you got a really high spinning fastball. You turn around, someone's standing there, and you can look and go, boom, 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 boom. I know exactly if this is good, bad, what I need to do.
It's tough for me to say there when there's a point. I would say, though, I don't really personally use Rapsodo that much, because I actually, like, I've, at least since I've been drafted, my biggest thing has been I need to work on commanding my pitches to where they need to go, because I had a very, when I came in, it was like my stuff was where it needed to be for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't throw in the right areas at all. Yeah. And so making that adjustment has always been the biggest thing. So I haven't really used that, but I guess, you know, like I learned a little bit when I first got drafted, because I was really interested in that stuff. And then it just, over time, especially my first full season in 2019, it was, you just kind of, it's just kind of incorporated into what you're doing in the org. So like, you just, at some point it just clicks, like, oh, you want your fastball to have X amount of ride or runner, because they give you, because Mariners give you like targets. They give you, they're very transparent. They're, it's really a great org to be a player in right now, I feel like, because it's like development wise, they tell you basically like, this is what you need to do to get better and to be a successful big leaguer. So it's okay, so here's what I'm going to try to do.
But okay, and with that, with okay, so they see something on an iPad, right? Now, I don't know who's standing around you, whatever, but I guess, okay, Pete Woodworth, who's been on this podcast, by the way, awesome dude, man. Like, by the way, this he made this bobblehead doll for me. Like,
never did he really?
Yeah, because he heard me talking about Dan Altavilla's bobblehead. And so he, I was blown away. I was like, oh, this is, anyways, and he sent it to me. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was unreal. Okay, so for example, I'll throw this at you just so people understand. You throw up because there's a lot of people out there that you know I interact with who, oh, well, if you look at this pitch and that pitch and blah blah blah. All right, you see a pitch, it has this, it has that, whatever. Who is the guy? Who is the person? And I'm guessing it could be Pete Woodworth, or who's the person who says, all right, if you want that pitch to do this physically, not just what you see on the iPad, you have to, I need you to put your hand here or whatever it is. Who's giving you that information?
That's kind of a pitching coach thing, but at the same time, that's almost like you just
kind of figure it out on your own.
You just kind of figure it out. It's like you try to do what you can to create the shape. It's tough because again, like me personally, I haven't really had to do that. I think it's the pitch. Watching other people, it's always been the pitching coach or just other you're trying to get feedback from other players, but for me at least it's like okay, I'm just gonna try to make it do that more, and then
it's more of a trial and error, like oh, I'm just gonna manipulate the ball this way, see if this works. Okay,
yeah
it's interesting because you know again there's that okay great, you can read what it says on that iPad, all right, how do you put that to this picture right here or yourself, because you know I work with kids too, I work with 16-17 year olds. And they're so caught up. They are so caught up in, oh, what was my spin rate? What was this? What was that? It's like, no. Let's get a foundation before we start even worrying about that.
You need that foundation before you can, like, it doesn't matter what your spin rate is if your fastball is 80 miles an hour or if you can't throw anything remotely over the plate. Like, doesn't matter.
you mentioned too, you know, if you get feedback from teammates and stuff like that, who are the guys on the team right now who are your buddies on the team in that locker room?
I get along well with everyone, but I mean, I'd say like Logan Gilbert and I are probably closest, I'd say for sure.
Right. What's I've never spoke to him. I've barely heard him speak. I mean, he's a way different personality to you. I mean, on the surface, right. Is that how he is in person?
Once you get to know him, he's actually really similar to me.
Yeah, right.
Like I apparently am like an outgoing guy or something, which is bizarre to me to think about because I really don't think I am. But like he's very similar to me in terms of like how he thinks, his like just his sense of humor, man. He's actually a really funny guy once you get to know him. He is.
Man, like
he's got to open up. He just doesn't always open up right away with people. But like once he does, he's a funny guy.
That's interesting. Speaking of Logan Gilbert, man, there's so much writing on him. Like, and this is between you and I. And I don't know if he ever talks about it, but here's a guy that, you know, he's never played in the big leagues and he's had some success. And he's good, man. Everyone knows he's good.
He's good, yeah.
But from here the last couple of years, right? I mean, you just stepped on the scene last year in the big leagues. But us as from a media standpoint. Man, we put some expectations on that dude. Does he ever talk about that at all?
I don't think he worries about what other people expect of him because he's got such high expectations for himself.
Okay.
And he knows his stuff is good and he knows it's going to play because you put him in a spring training game. Like, he struck out Mike Trout. He struck out some of the best guys in baseball. Like, he did that last year, too, in spring training. He struck out Otani, I think, and he had a couple of really good innings, so like he knows that. I don't see how he's not a successful big leaguer. I think he's got it unless he gets to the big leagues and like he can't, and I don't see how he wouldn't be able to handle it just based off like with mindset, what he focuses on, all that stuff. But that'd be the only way I can see him not working, I guess. I mean, he's just good, man. He's good.
Do you remember his first ever big league spring training appearance? He got shelled.
Yeah, he struck out somebody and then he didn't get an out.
Yeah. Dude, there was like so much hype. I remember in the morning, everyone's like, oh, Logan Gilbert's pitching. I was like, oh man, sweet. Like this. I was all like, and again, I didn't know a whole, I knew who he was, but I didn't know a whole lot about him. And you could see him. And obviously you look at him and go, yeah, he's going to be a stud. Like, yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to pitch in the big leagues, whatever. But it's just so funny, dude. Like, cause everyone's kind of anticipating this, like Randy Johnson, like little league, you know, Nintendo slider or whatever, right. just dealing. And it was just looked so comfortable, like the at-bats against him. And everyone's like, oh, well, you know, it's like, dude, relax. It's spring training. It was so funny. But, dude, it's the amount we talk about, obviously him, Jared Kelnick, and these guys that they've never played in the big leagues. You know, there's a lot riding on these guys, you know?
That's true. Especially, like, it's to be able to handle it if you're, like, Julio or you're Kelnick, like, because they're young, too. Like, yeah. They're, you know, 20, 21. Like, that's... It can be distracting, I feel like. I mean, you gotta, yeah. I mean, it is a lot of pressure, especially because, you know, like if you put that much, like, I mean, I guess it's a little different now because you got the analysts, you got the information that shows like, okay, like this is kind of what they do and like compared to past people, but like, you're still a prospect at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're an established big leaguer. So it is interesting to see like how much like, you see it in the media, like how much hype there is.
Yeah.
Which I get it because again, they are insanely good. And you do see that like when they put them against other people, but you know, they haven't been there yet. Yeah. So it's tough. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I do think, I mean, they're good. They're good. Like you see it. So as long as they just keep that, they'll be good there too.
Yeah, for sure. But, I think too, I mean, I've played with guys who had all this hype, nothing like this, man. I've never seen anything like this when I was playing. No way. It's crazy. I mean, we have like, you know, I have to research the double A team because we're going to talk about it. And I've never seen that before, but yeah, back when I was pitching, I'd have teammates who had all this hype and some of them let it get to them in a way of like, oh yeah, well, you know, when's my super two date? You know what I'm saying? Like they just had it all figured out or whatever. But other guys were like still that like super hungry. They got to the big leagues. They didn't want to get sent down and they got optioned down to AAA and they're mad. And they're like, you know, they still had that hunger involved. You know what I'm saying? Like they were still hungry to get there and prove to everyone how good they are. You know what I'm saying? I think Logan's like that, right?
Logan is like that. He's always going to try to be better. Cause I mean, you know, like he doesn't say it, but he basically wants to be like the next DeGrom. Like,
right,
does yeah. And that's it, when you have got that standard to be the best in baseball, like you're always going to be striving for more, you know. So
yeah, and this might be a dumb question, but what makes Logan Gilbert so good? What do you think?
Well, I mean, surface stuff's good, dude. We can talk about his extension, his ability to spin a slider and curveball, like all that stuff's really good, obviously. But honestly, his work ethic's really good too. Like sneaky, like to me, work at like everyone works hard. Like, but it's really the consistency to me is like the biggest difference maker. Like how consistently you put in work, like is real hard work. And he always is doing like he throws a lot. He does all these drill things that he says helps him or whatever, which is fine. It works for him, obviously. But like I would never do some of the stuff, but like it works. And he does what he needs to do or what he like says he needs to do to get better every single day. And he doesn't really care what other people think with regard to that. So I think that's the biggest difference maker, like foundationally.
Right. Hey, speaking of guys like Logan Gilbert, Jared Kelnick, is there still 2021 spring training or in the locker room? Is there still that like, hey, I'm a vet, like he's a veteran, let him have his own seat on the bus, let him eat first, let him get on the plane first. Is there still that with the Mariners right now? It's such a young team.
I mean, not really. No, I mean, it's like, okay, guys like Seager or whatever, they can do whatever they want. They've got all the time in the world, right? But I mean, for the most part, it's like, I don't know, you're on the team or whatever. Like everyone's pretty young, you know?
That's awesome.
Guys like, you know, Seager, Paxton, like, no, people are nice. It's not like people are jerks, but it's like, you know, you're not going to be an idiot as a rookie, or, you know, somebody who does like a year of time, and you're going to be like, oh yeah, well, let me, you know, you know, you try to like take a spot or, you know, something. It's like, okay, you know, they're still veterans, but.
I run out of time here, cause I did make sure with Kelly that she's like, hey, because otherwise I'll talk all day. I don't want to keep you in your car. I know it's hot in that car right now. The sun's beating down.
It's fine. It rolled down the window, so I'm good.
Nice. Sweet. And I don't want Kelly to get mad, or she'll never let me talk to you or anyone else ever again. You wrote a tweet recently, and this is kind of how you and I interacted, because I've never met you. I want people to make sure they know that you and I have never met each other. And hopefully at some point when this COVID thing chills out, I can actually say hi to you in person and have a chat that way. So much better than Zoom, man. I'm sick of Zoom. Yeah. Zoom's awesome, don't get me wrong. But this, awesome. I get to connect with, no. It sucks, dude. Like, I'm a person.
It could be so much better if you were. I agree. Yeah. I mean, I do love, you know, it's like FaceTime's the same way. It's like, dude, FaceTime is awesome when you don't have an alternative, but if you can be in person, you want to be in person.
Oh yeah, 100%. Now, you wrote a tweet saying, oh, I wish I had an Australian accent. Where'd that come from? And talk me through that.
It's not as, you know, profound as you might think it is. It's literally just like, my Twitter is literally just, I have a thought that's kind of funny, or like a situational thing. And it's just like, so I just thought about it. It's like, gosh, I'm sure I was listening. I heard myself speak or something. It's like, I've got a very, I'm from Minnesota, but I kind of sound, aside from a few words, a little more like, you know, Wisconsin or Chicago or something. Yeah. It's a little nasally like that, you know, like, and I was listening, I'm like, gosh, what if I had a cool accent? Like, not there's anything wrong with that, but like, when I just think of Australia, I'm just like, gosh, it's such a cool, it just sounds so cool. Like, I love your accent. It's great.
You ever been to Australia?
Never. I've been to Canada. That's the only place I've been outside the U.S.
Dude, next off season, right, after you've piled up all this cash and you're a big leaguer and you're big time and you're a celebrity and everything else, it's Nicole, right? Your girlfriend?
Yeah, Nicole.
Right, you and Nicole get down to Australia, right? I'll pick you up at the airport and I'll give you a tour straight up the East Coast, straight to Newcastle. No, I'm kidding. That's where I grew up, Newcastle. Awesome spot. But no, seriously, dude, get over there, man. You're 23, about to turn, but you're not even 25 yet. Get down there, no kids. Trust me, before it gets too late, I'm telling you right now. You will love it, dude. I can already tell, like, personality-wise, you would friggin' love it. Just rent a car, drive up the East Coast. I'm telling you right now, that's what you got to do. Fly into Sydney.
No, that sounds great. I love traveling. Traveling's the best. I mean, look, Nicole, you're going to hear this. You know the drill. No, that honestly sounds great. It's like,
oh, yeah.
I love the ocean. I love the coast. Like, Australia sounds awesome. So it'd be a blast.
Hey, speaking of, before I let you go too, I've got to ask this, man. You're 23. Now, again, I get a chance to play in the big leagues and, you know, make a little bit of money I was 24 when I made my debut, but
sure.
what do you do, man, with all this new, with this money and everything, what do you do? What are the plans? Are you like really sensible? Are you going out buying like ridiculous flashy crap everywhere? What do you got? Not crap.
Okay, I am the person, I'm saving. I'm just a saver. It's like, okay, my family's going to need this at some point, so I'm going to save it. But I have spent, because you knew me before this, you would know that my wardrobe was absolutely atrocious in terms of being presentable at, like, as a big leaguer. So I have invested a little bit of money into buying some better, more normal looking clothes. Not like sophomore in college still just wearing crap, because that's just what you wear when you're in college. You just wear garbage. So,
and if you're moving to LA too, like, is your girlfriend, she's in LA?
Yeah.
See, I lived in West Hollywood for 6 years. That's where my wife lived. Right. Sure. So I was like, man, I need to clean it up. I'm just wearing the same shorts, like $30 shorts. I'm like, I need to clean it up. So if you are moving there, you do need to clean it up, dude.
It's true. It's a coast thing, but it's also just like, you know, the Midwest, it's like, oh, you know, it's snowing, it's cold, you just wear jeans and a jacket and you look good, because nobody cares about anything else. You're trying to survive. You know? But
that's awesome.
But yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I need to do that anyway. It's trying to, you know, look better. It's a good thing to do. So
for
girlfriend
sure.
likes it too, so that's also a plus.
Yeah, there you go. For sure. Well, Joey, I'll let you go, man. You're in a Starbucks parking lot right now. I'll let you go through the drive-thru, grab your your mocha frappuccino, whatever you get. But dude, this was fun, man. And again, hopefully next time, if you come on again, we can do it in person or do something besides the Zoom. No, I'm not, you know, crapping on Zoom here. Love it. But
yeah, no, it's great.
Lot better in person. But this was fun, man. I appreciate it. All the best. I can't wait to watch your pitch this year in 2021, dude.
Great. Yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to the season. Should be fun.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, hope you enjoyed that episode of The Top Step. Joey Gerber, one of my new favorites on this Mariners team. I can't wait to watch this kid pitch and do his thing. Can't wait for opening day. And I'm excited you're going to be back next week. Join me for another episode of The Top Step. Before you get off this, make sure you click subscribe. You tell your friends, you tell your mates, tell your girlfriend who lives in LA, tell your fiancés, your wives, your brothers, sisters, all about this amazing podcast that I think is ranked number one in baseball podcasts in Australia. Pretty proud of that. That's pretty cool. Anyway, guys, I'll see you next week on The Top Step.